You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. With the holidays around the corner, we're thinking about holiday traditions, and they could be food traditions or maybe movie traditions. Do you go to the movies on December 25th? Or maybe you have gift-giving traditions. We'd like to hear all of them. 8778-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org.
So we begin with a really big financial story. Another week, another scandal. This one on Wall Street. Bernard Madoff is the trader, legendary trader on Wall Street, who is at the center of what he confesses to be a $50 billion so-called Ponzi scheme, which may have bilked investors out of billions and billions of dollars. Joining us now is Jason Zweig from the Wall Street Journal to talk about the names that are suddenly appearing on the list of Madoff's so-called smart investors. Jason, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, John.
I mean, this morning on Wall Street, everybody is looking to see who's on that list. First of all, what names have emerged and what does it say about them that they were part of this deal, which may have resulted in losses of billions for individual investors?
Well, the list is very long, John, and quite embarrassing. I mean, among individuals, some of the people whose names have surfaced so far are Mort Zuckerman, the real estate and media executive, Fred Wilpon, owner of the New York Mets, Norman Braman, who used to own the Philadelphia Eagles. It appears Senator Frank Lautenberg from New Jersey may have invested.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, Ezra Merkin, who's one of the best-known hedge fund managers in the country. And
wait a second, Jason. Just stop right there. How did these very sophisticated investors get duped, if this is true, what is being alleged against Madoff?
Well, Adora, the interesting thing is in my column last week, I talked about that very term you highlighted, sophisticated investor, and suggested that George Carlin may have missed that with his list of famous oxymorons like jumbo shrimp and military intelligence. Sophisticated investor is a term we really should stop using because all investors are humans. No matter how much money they have, no matter how well advised they may be, every investor with enough money to invest can be taken by somebody with enough of the smarts that a con man will employ.
Well, it's a classic come-on, too. It's kind of like the high rollers in Vegas. Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you're a high roller. We're going to give you a special club membership. All of a sudden, you feel like an insider. You feel like you've got access to information nobody else has. And boom, you're suddenly in for like, you know, a couple thousand.
Yeah, you know, the story that keeps turning up when you talk to people who either invested with Madoff or know people who did or tried to talk them out of it is that you had to be invited in. This really was, just as you said, John, an exclusive club. It was invitation only. You almost had to beg for Madoff to manage your money. And once that situation gets set up, it becomes almost irresistible for anybody who's within earshot.
Well,
that was a large part of the success.
Well, there's the come-on, of course, which gets you the investors. But then part of the problem with a pyramid scheme is it works great when everything's rising and everything's expanding and there's growth everywhere in the financial sector. But when things start to shrink, your downward trajectory is at a much higher velocity than everywhere else in the market. How has that worked, at least so far as we can tell?
Well, you know, the key to a so-called Ponzi scheme, which this is alleged to have been, is that it's almost infinitely sustainable. I mean, you can make these things last an amazing length of time so long as you have more people giving you money than you have people asking for their money back. And what seems to have done in the Madoff arrangement was when roughly $7 or $8 billion worth of money requested to be cashed out, and at that point, according to the affidavits in the case, Mr. Madoff suddenly realized he didn't have enough money sitting around to pay these people off, and the whole thing collapsed.
So it's a classic sort of unwinding that is actually making vulnerable a lot of hedge funds on Wall Street right now. The credit crunch produces some investment problems. People have to get their money either because they have to make margin calls or whatever they need the money for. They start to redeem their accounts, and all of a sudden the exposure of the individual firms reveals that, hey, they don't have even close to what they say they had. In the case of Madoff, he was one of the bigger fish, but a lot of hedge funds could be in the same position even though they're not Ponzi schemes.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, it's important to distinguish what happened here from what is happening elsewhere. I mean, here the case appears to be that money he claimed was there in people's accounts was no longer there and may never have been there. In the case of other hedge funds, the money is there, but the value of the accounts has gone down with the markets as a whole. The problem is a case like this exposes that in tough times, everything is interconnected.
Right.
And things that are not supposed to move together move in lockstep. And the best fund managers out there, the ones who've done a really good job for their clients, may suffer from this as well, because if you did invest with Madoff and you lost all your money with him, you then have to take your money back from the other guys, the good guys, just to keep yourself afloat. And now their accounts will suffer as well.
And, you know, Bernie Madoff was a guy that people liked. He had a real life. He was a human being. He was, you know, on the boards of all kinds of charitable organizations. So, you know, it doesn't look so bad to be Bernie Madoff's friend until this morning. Jason Zweig, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, John and Adora.
Sure. Jason Zweig is a Wall Street Journal reporter talking about the Bernie Madoff scandal, which gives new meaning to the term sophisticated investor. And our sophisticated newsreader, Femi Okeh, is here with the headlines.
Thank you very
not
much.
Not an oxymoron, by
no,
the way.
No, not an oxymoron, no.
Well, sophisticated and newsreader and me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks, Adora.
We could make a takeaway question out of that, but maybe we don't want to.
Okay. Shall I do some news? 28 minutes past the hour. Good morning, all. You're so mean to me. I deserve it, though, sometimes. Hundreds of thousands of customers are still without power in northern New England thanks to a powerful ice storm. Matthew Shugnan, who's a spokesman for the Public Service of New Hampshire, says that some customers could be in the cold for a while.
Public Service is asking customers to prepare for several more days without power and, if possible, to arrange shelter with friends or family, or even to go to one of the shelters in New Hampshire that's available.
Utility companies are making progress restoring electricity, which will help with help from crews from states as far away as Maryland. An avalanche yesterday in Utah's Snowbird Resort left a 27-year-old woman dead. Avalanche deaths are rare in U.S. resorts. They routinely trigger their own slides to prevent them from occurring naturally. And no word yet on whether the White House will step in to help out the ailing auto industry, but aboard Air Force One yesterday, the president did say that he wants to avoid an auto bankruptcy. That's a look at some of the headlines making news this morning.
Very sophisticated. Thank you, Femi.
You're welcome.